I Hate Politics is a podcast dedicated to exploring a human activity we love to hate. We look at human life, culture, economics closest to us, in our neighborhoods, workplaces, schools and streets, and in our local governments. Together, we'll explore how politics is central to getting things done in societies where we treasure diverse views and preferences. I'm Sunil Dasgupta. I've spent my life studying politics, and I know this. Unless we want to live in a dictatorship or a monarchy, we are stuck with politics. Politics is more than just Trump, Biden, or elections. It's how we fix potholes, make our streets safer, where we put our schools, and decide who goes to them. It's about coming together as a community. It's about us. Let's go find those stories.
Every once in a while, we get an intractable political problem whose solution appears to come suddenly out of nowhere and seems to be anticlimactic. It happened this week when Montgomery County Executive Mark Ellerich announced his plan to remove police officers from permanent assignments in the county's 25 public high schools. At the podcast, we had just finished interviews with student activist Lauren Payne and teacher activist Neha Singhal, looking at a movement that started 2 years ago with student groups and social justice activists and had picked up considerable steam during last summer's Black Lives Matter protests. Lauren ended that interview with a definitive deadline. She wanted this done by June 10th. She's a graduating senior. A few days later, Ellerich made his announcement. Police officers on permanent assignment to schools are euphemistically called school resource officers, or SROs for short. That is the term most people are familiar with. But it should be noted that what we are talking about are police officers armed with a gun and a taser, carrying a badge with them, and wearing a uniform. All the equipment of intimidation for many students who, with their families, feel intimidated by the same things outside of school. Instead of the school being a safe space, it had become an extension of the trauma from policing suffered by Black and Brown communities. While inner city schools across the country have seen decades-long police presence, the police in suburban schools are a fairly new phenomenon, starting after the Columbine massacre in 1999. And it picked up speed as the pace of school shooting has picked up. Unable to keep guns out of hands, SROs have been part of a theater of security that offered abstract benefits while imposing real costs, in part feeding the school-to-prison pipeline. As the mass shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida showed, having an SRO in the building was no protection. Presented with this reality, those who support the presence of SROs talk about mentorship and guidance and even preventive intervention, especially for quote-unquote problem kids. But if we are a society where we need a gun, a badge, and uniform in school to provide mentorship and guidance, we have bigger problems. And because of those bigger problems, the burden on SROs falls disproportionately on minority students. In Montgomery County, over 80% of the arrests in school are of Black and Brown students, while they constitute about 60% of the student body. County Executive Ellerich's hands are somewhat tied by state law requiring police coverage of schools. And while his proposal removes SROs from the building, he puts them in patrol cars circling clusters of schools. The proposal does not remove the police from the school discipline process. How Ellerich's decision to remove SROs plays out is going to be one of the bigger stories in the county this year. The Board of Education, the governing body responsible for schools, has been punting on the issue for some time, but will now need to figure out what exactly school security looks like in the future. My discussion with Lauren Payne and Neha Singhal will show that teachers are divided on the issue. The county PTA is split in the middle, with one faction wanting more evaluation and another wanting removal. And most importantly, The County School Principals Union had come out strongly in favor of keeping SROs. The principals are ultimately responsible for the security of students in their buildings. No wonder it is so hard to remove police officers from school. Now, the news roundup. We cannot acknowledge this week's news without mentioning the killing of 6 Asian women among a total of 8 persons dead in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia, in a mass shooting. We are planning an episode on the Asian American experience, especially since the pandemic, and we will do a deeper dive into anti-Asian hate. The Montgomery County executive released his budget for the next fiscal year, and while the SRO removal proposal captured the headlines, he's also interested in restructuring the county police department itself. The budget, boosted by over $200 million in federal funds from the latest COVID relief bill, feels like a big sigh of relief with no major cuts. The school system will be fully funded to the Board of Education's ask. Montgomery County Public Schools reopened its doors this week after 365 days. There was joy and anticipation among students going back, among parents who were without having to care for children for the first time in a year, and among teachers who were over the moon to see and hear their students. But 5 elementary schools, 1 middle school, and 4 high schools have already reported COVID cases. The official reporting lags somewhat, so there may be others. It isn't clear exactly how schools are putting families back into quarantine. Meanwhile, vaccine appointments appear to be shaking loose somewhat, and teachers are getting shots. The county government announced that the state had finally agreed to a mass vaccination site, which will be located in the Germantown campus of Montgomery College. The only problem, I think, has to do with transit access to the vaccination site. It is unclear if ride-on service to the Montgomery College campus in Germantown will increase and whether it can be considered meaningfully accessible to transit from down and East County locations. And East County is where our COVID numbers are the highest and vaccinations the lowest. The big brewing controversy is over high school football teams and their ability to play games in the season. The county permits no more than 50 people assembled for outdoor sports and no more than 25 for indoor sports. Football, because it is close contact, is not allowed. Football players and coaches are upset. County council leaders appear to be looking for a way to allow football, which has an oversized influence, to move forward. I'll be back with Lauren Payne and Neha Singh. Lauren Payne, Neha Singhal, welcome to I Hate Politics. How did you come to the idea that SROs were a bad idea? Lauren, you want to take that first?
So throughout the summer, I mean, it's so funny how kind of drastically I've changed on so many different positions, but throughout the summer, I wasn't really too informed on the SRO issue at all. I kind of feel like I joined the fight a little bit late. But I remember kind of talking to my friend about the campaign, like what she was working on. And I was just saying how I wasn't really too informed on it. And then she sent me a video of a 6-year-old in Chicago being arrested. And I saw that and I was just like, I was so shocked. And, you know, I feel like I knew that Black and brown youth were like over-criminalized and over-policed. I feel like I knew those things, but it didn't really like materialize in my head. And I didn't really kind of have, I feel like a lot of times you need like some, like a visual to match what you already know. And it, for me, it was that. And then from there, just doing my own research and really looking into like how policing works in Maryland and like the deep rooted systemic issues that we have here, especially in Montgomery County. You know, I like say this over and over again, we like have the kind of false idea of progressiveness and we think that these different issues don't really like happen here. But, you know, you look at all the data and you look at all the facts. And once I really kind of did that research for myself, you know, I came to the conclusion that, you know, they're not protecting students. You know, they have had like one real job, you know, they were implemented to like deter school shootings and they don't even do that. So not only are they kind of like really useless, you know, they're harmful and they're hurting students.
So have you had a bad experience with the police, or somebody close to you had a bad experience with the police, Lauren?
Yeah. So, I mean, I have lots of older brothers and, you know, they've had multiple times, you know, getting stopped at traffic lights. I remember one time my brother was followed home in our neighborhood. Like I said earlier, I live in Bethesda, Maryland, and he was followed home and asked like where he was going. He was stopped. He was like stopped and frisked, you know, and that's just how they live their lives. You know, it's happened so many times, they probably can't even keep count. And that's just the reality that they live with and how they like walk their lives as like Black men in this world. And, you know, the fact that that's just like normal for them, you know, they don't really feel safe to call the police. Like, they're going to avoid calling the police at all times just because they feel like police are not there to protect them. You know what I mean?
Neha, how did you come to this, the conclusion that SROs were bad?
I have seen a student be arrested in the school building, and it was, and I saw students seeing it happen also. So I was witnessing it, but I also had the consciousness of like, oh my goodness, my students right. are witnessing this to happen to another peer. And it was very dehumanizing.
Right.
And to be honest, there really weren't much answers after. And I just kept questioning and wondering, like, there has to be better. We have to be able to do better for our students. This is so unacceptable because it is so traumatizing to watch a peer also be taken out and handcuffed.
Well, how did you come to the letter?
A couple of us teachers have been talking and wanting to organize and ally with the students since like last summer. Mm-hmm. And so we have been trying to figure out our role, you know, as teachers, as allies, and how we can support this very strong student-led movement, right, on removing police.
Right.
And one very exciting thing that was starting to happen and taking shape was that MCEA, which is the teachers union in Montgomery County, they were getting ready to take a stand on this issue. And I felt very, very proud as an MCEA union strong member in person.
That's right.
And they did take a stand. They took a very strong, unapologetic stand to support Black and Brown students in Montgomery County and say that they support this bill that Lauren mentioned in the county council. Unfortunately, they got some backlash. And I think it's a problem here in Montgomery County where whenever, whether it's white parents or white teachers or white students, whenever there is any kind of backlash or anger on behalf of some of our community in this mm-hmm. county, mm-hmm. then everything is like, oh no, okay, never mind. Back up. We have to totally back away from this. Now we have to like move very carefully and or essentially, I think actually a student said this, oftentimes this county tends to prioritize white feelings over the actual lived experiences of our Black and Latinx students. And that's what happened. And so unfortunately, the union decided instead of going with the statement that they would do a vote instead, which is fine, like that, you know, I understand. I think it's great. I think it's great to do a vote and really, you know, lead from the membership. And so anyway, sorry, long story short, the vote literally was like a couple votes short, just a couple votes short of being majority. And already actually in the vote, sorry, let me say this, in the vote, majority of the people who were there supported the bill that the students have fought for, but we weren't super majority.
Correct. You need 58, you got 55.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a big setback to us where we were like, wait, but we were right there. And like, what happened? And then the other setback was the principals union.
Right.
MCAF. They came out with this statement saying that they took a vote and their membership supports keeping SROs. And they wrote this statement that, you know, and Lauren, you can give your reaction, you know, to seeing their statement from the student perspective, but definitely as a teacher, I was disturbed that the letter didn't mention anything about students. Literally, like there was no mention there about like racism, which is the number one thing that students are saying is the problem with the program.
Do you have any insight into why the principals chose that position? Why they chose to ignore the students?
Yeah, one point that we're really trying to make clear and uplift is that the MCAP letter does not represent all high school administrators. or all administrators in Montgomery County, even though that's what the letter made it sound like. Unfortunately, once we got to the bottom of it, we did find that many principals said either that they weren't really consulted or that they felt they weren't really given a heads up of what this vote was going to be about, nor were they given any research, nor were they given any student input or voice on this.
But I find it a little bit problematic to say they don't have research on this, because they are the principals. If they don't have research on it, who on earth has research on that?
That is fair. That is fair. Maybe I'm giving too much leeway to principals, but I also know that since that time, principals have actually come out against it. They're not yet being public about it, so I'm not going to say their name.
Mm-hmm.
But in that community of colleagues meeting, after the students trained them, mm-hmm. they were so moved, and they honestly were just like, I think, shocked at some of the stuff that they did not know was happening, even though, like you said, Sunil, they should know the research. They, in that moment, did come out and say, we support you. Now, they haven't necessarily followed up publicly yet, but I think, like Lauren is saying, the meetings with the principals is hopefully going to get us there. So I just want to first dispel that myth that, like, not all high school principals actually agree with this. Would you agree with that, Lauren?
No, I don't. Yeah, I think I think it's also important to say, like, a lot of principals are kind of almost indifferent to it as well, which I think is honestly kind of worse. But a lot of them are just kind of saying,
that is so bad.
Yeah, no, it is. But it's kind of just like, you know, I mean, I voted yes, I support it, but, you know, if they were removed, I don't care. That's kind of, yeah, what I've been gauging from a lot of these meetings, which is really, I think is really interesting. And it's kind of,
I have a theory. Yeah. Let me run this theory by you.
Mm-hmm.
So by having an SRO in the building, a school can reduce the number of reported arrests. That just the number, if by, you know, dealing with something internally. So if there's an incident and that is dealt with internally by the SRO in the building, it may not need to be reported as a police incident. That would make the school look better. Do you think that may have something to do with it?
That does make sense. I know, because I don't want to like say something that like I can't like really verify. I know that when with lots of people looking for certain research or like data on different arrests happening, like different arrests that are happening in schools, they haven't had access to a lot of it, police data in general. And I think that kind of points to your theory a little bit.
Neha, you were going to say?
Yeah, I would say that I wouldn't be surprised by that. I think there is a lot of just interesting stuff that happens with data from what I've seen, being a staff member in Montgomery County, and a lot of fears, sadly, around data, and trying to make the data look good is definitely a big emphasis that happens, and the pressure gets put on teachers, particularly around test scores and things. So I would not be surprised if that transferred also, of course, to arrest rates. And I also know it happens on graduation rates. I mean, there's a lot of pressure, particularly on principals for those things. The other thing I was going to add too, which has been discussed by a lot of people, about why possibly administrators, you know, have so far said that they support SROs, even though, again, I'll add that 10 at least administrators have signed our statement to say that.
But they are not principals. When you say administrators, they are assistant principals, but they are not principals, correct?
We do have elementary school principals, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which,
so,
who?
I forget their names. I'm so sorry, but the names are in the statement.
Right.
And it'll say like assistant principal, like principal or administrator, however they want it to be, shown up on the statement. So yeah, so they do exist, which is really exciting. And again, more do exist, but they're scared to speak out right now. They're not being public.
Scared of what though? I mean, that's what's the really puzzling part. A principal is the leader of the school building. It's the leader of the school. What are they scared of?
That one I'm not sure about. I'm not sure if it's their union or something, but I will say that one of the reasons why folks think that principals want to keep SROs is because it is another person, another resource, quote unquote, in the building. And I think it's about liability also, possibly,
sure.
And how administrators are trained in this county. I don't know enough about the latter, but you know, one thing that troubles me is that there a lot of pressure is put on principals in a way that I think doesn't allow them to do their job well. But also, they're also quite removed in this county from students. Like, none of our principals actually teach a class. None of them really truly have the intense amount of student interaction that would allow them, in my opinion, as a teacher, to see the every single day humanity of our wonderful, amazing students that we are so desperately trying to protect. And so if they don't have that every single day connection, if they don't get text messages from their students, like, who are scared or worried, they might not connect with this issue in the same way.
So we have this race analysis, right? We have, and I think Ms. Singal made that analysis that she said that, you know, when it comes to, you know, we are too protective of white feelings in this county. And it sometimes those seems like a generational problem.
I mean, I definitely think that plays a part in it. I mean, you can say that for a lot of issues going on right now, you know. I think a lot of parents specifically are like stuck, not in the past, but there's like, I guess like normal, like things are normal, you know, SROs are like normal. I just think they're stuck in the past and, you know, don't want to see things like that drastically change, even though it wouldn't be honestly that big of a change, just remove place from school. So I definitely think there's a generational thing that plays a part in that, in the way you look at certain issues. And in the way that you look at how education can be run. I mean, look at a lot of these different educational issues, like students are mobilized for a lot of different issues about education where parents are like staunchly opposed. So I just think it's like, yes, generational thing, and it's how you look at education and just and how the role race plays in education as a whole.
More with Neha Singal and Lauren Payne after this break. Given the problem as it stands, where do you think you can have the most, your advocacy can have the most impact? Maybe Neha, start with that.
Sure, definitely. Yeah. And just to add on to the last point, I think the other reason why students are united on this and why I believe they're on the right side of history and why I'm following them is because they're the ones directly affected. I mean, they feel it every single day, right? The surveillance, the racial profiling, the harm. And then also in other educational issues, of course, like they're the ones being affected, you know, in a highly segregated county where resources are completely warped. And so, of course, they're going to be the ones to fight. So anyway, there's that. But where I think we can be most effective is definitely our county council. So the bill that has been proposed by Will Jawando and Hans Riemer, we have four county council members right now who are committed to supporting this bill,
right?
Which means we only need one more person to come on the board. So it feels like we're so close, you know, to getting that person. And the students have really been at the forefront of like meeting with all of the council members and explaining and addressing kind of why they hope that they vote in favor of this bill. And then there's also the issue of the county executive, of course, and making sure that his vision also aligns with what the students want. And actually, I think Lauren has a lot of really good points, because I think I saw a tweet from you, Lauren, maybe recently about this and the county executive piece.
I'll get to Lauren, but I want to ask you, why are teachers meeting county council people as well? And, you know, the folks, are you all meeting as a group with them, and are you getting meetings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So we're all part of a big coalition. So it's a student-led coalition with parents involved, with some teachers involved, some administrators, some community organizations like Gasa Bay Maryland, ACLU, Public Justice Center. It's a very broad, intergenerational coalition. Dues United for Justice as well, interfaith coalition. And basically every meeting, there's usually one or two representatives of each group of this.
Great. Lauren, what is your experience with the advocacy piece of this?
It's been really, really intense. Like, I think I've taken a bigger role than I expected to. Like I said, I kind of jumped in kind of head first throughout the summer, really diving into the issue. And I think, yeah, I've just taken a bigger role than I thought I was. So it's been really intense, but also just I've learned a lot. Also about like the importance of like local politics. You know, I think prior to this year, I didn't really think about local politics that much, but it influences a lot and it's very, very important. And I think it's the perfect way for students to get involved in advocacy and organizing.
The SROs issue or more generally, you think students should be more involved?
The SRO issue and just local politics in general, especially things involving educational equity, educational justice, just because, you know, students are some of the main stakeholders in these different issues and it's important for them to have like a seat at the table.
So have you been following the situation in Annapolis? What are they doing there?
Well, I mean, I happen, I actually testified at the bill hearing for the Police Out of Schools Act introduced by Gabriel Acevedo. And from what I've heard is that, you know, bills on their first time don't pass in Annapolis, so it's probably not going to pass. I think the bill is great. I think Gabriel Acevedo is great. And it really hits all of the issues, especially on a statewide level. I testified at the hearing and I thought it went really, really well. But I mean, I've heard just like the culture at Annapolis is probably not going to pass. But I definitely think a bill like that is needed on the state level, like 100%.
Great. And do you think that the Board of Education is just sort of out of this business? Because I didn't hear anybody speak about it.
They're not out of it, but they're not really in it. They're just there. I feel like the Board of Education is notorious for just kind of like holding out and like prolonging things and like doing studies and holding all these hearings, but not really like making a concrete statement. You know, I've met with a couple of the Board of Education members. We provided them with all the data. Like we physically cannot give them any more data than we have. Correct. That's the thing that I don't think people don't understand. You know, they have everything. Like they have everything. So them not making a statement is like, says like a lot.
What does it say? I know it's a lot, but tell me what it says.
I mean, I think it just points to just a bigger issue about how they function here in Montgomery County. I think you see this with the SRO issue, but also the boundary analysis, how they kind of prolong that. And how I honestly feel like they've kind of been using the SRO issue as kind of like a cover for not moving forward with that the way they should. The Board of Education is also very inaccessible for students and parents who just aren't rich and in the PTAs. You know, like the Board of Education hearing that just happened, extremely inaccessible. Like the only reason why I was like the first one to sign up is because I'm in this group and kind of semi like being one of the students who leads it. You know, I talked to a student from Northwest who's in Montgomery County Students for Change. And she didn't even know that she was able to testify at Board of Education hearings, let alone that she was able to like, can write a testimony, do any of this stuff, you know? And that again, points to a bigger issue of how like the Board of Education is kind of just, I feel like really not doing the job that they should about putting students first.
Neha, do you feel like that?
Yeah. I've been disappointed, to be honest. I've been disappointed and concerned with the Board of Education, part dismissal, but also part like just continuing to drag this on, which just, I can't help but make it just feel strategic because we saw it happen, like Lauren said, with the boundary analysis. I mean, there is so much data. What more do you need? Why do we keep having like, let's wait, you know, a couple more months. Let's wait a couple more months. Let's do this analysis. Let's do this data. You know, that's great. Yes, we want to be data informed, but like the students literally have done the work for free. They have gotten the data for you. And now it's your turn to do something and take a stance and show them that the people voted for you to do what you said you would do.
So if they're running out the clock, right? They're running out the clock for Lauren. She's going to graduate. She's going to go to college. She's going to be, you know, she's going to maybe come back and do work in the county, but she's, you know, she'll be done with MCPS. You will remain. You are the permanent staff in MCPS. And what do you think you need to see in terms of the board's functioning that gives you confidence going forward?
Yeah. Definitely. Well, first, I want to say that I'm not sure if I'll remain, you know, like it's important for teachers to know that we have options too. Like,
thank you for reminding us that that's a very important reminder. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, not that I love teaching, like I would never give it up for anything in the world. I love teaching. I grew up here in Montgomery County. I went to Capesburg High School. Like it was always my dream to be in my community. And it matters how we're treated as teachers. And it's been a very painful experience at times being a teacher in Montgomery County as a person of color, as a woman of color, and seeing my students of color being harmed in many different ways. So for me to answer your question, with the Board of Education, you know, I want to see concrete solutions actually being implemented because there are so many solutions that are there. There are so many ways to make schools more equitable, more anti-racist. Like there are just so many things that we know we can do that we have models from other counties also doing. I need to see some actual implementation of this stuff. And then I will feel like, cool, like I feel good about the people I voted for. And I feel really proud to be part of this county. I wouldn't feel this way if, for example, the Board of Education, if they just, you know, if they never said that they cared about anti-racism, that would be different. That would be a different fight. But because they always and constantly say that they care about anti-racism, and they particularly understand that there is a specific impact of anti-Blackness on our students also, right? So then the signal to me, and I think many other students as I see Laura nodding, is that, okay, well then if you believe that and you understand that, then aren't you going to implement the things that like speak to that issue?
I mean, in terms of success of your advocacy that you want to see, do you have a timeline? I mean, Lauren has a timeline. She's graduating. She wants this change now. But what is your timeline? And I'll get back to Lauren on this. Do you have a timeline now?
I mean, I want it to happen tomorrow. No.
Sure. Yeah. But what is a realistic timeline?
Yeah, no, a realistic timeline, to be honest, I don't want to be naive also in terms of how politics works. Like I mentioned, I've done immigration and policy organizing for many years. And I also have read about similar SRO specific organizing. And just, you know, one quick example is like Minneapolis. I believe it took them almost a decade to win this. They organized and fought, yeah, for a decade, right? Which is not going to be us.
Lauren,
we are definitely
going to
win. Yeah, we're going to win way before that. And, you know, I don't know. It's frustrating. It's really frustrating when politicians, you know, play the game and say that it takes some time. And they like, it kind of happened with the county council and the Board of Ed. They were playing like hot potato. They kept being like, no, you deal with the issue. No, you deal with the issue. You have jurisdiction. You have jurisdiction, you know? And so like that kind of stuff is so frustrating because that's what takes it 10. That's what makes it become 10 years. And there's absolutely
and that's
no
what
need.
Makes people hate politics.
Yes, exactly. Like there's just no need. We've actually already been working on this for almost a year now. Because I distinctly remember it was in March after the pandemic hit, after the murders, police murders, right, of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, so many others. Yeah. That is when the organizing started. That is when all of these people were saying Black Lives Matter, marching in the streets, protesting. I don't know where they all are now. You know, like, what was that? Just like a little social media, like, let me get my picture taken. You know, all the I saw many county council members at those protests. I saw school board members. So I'm kind of like, okay, where, so that's cute that you were at the protest, but like, where are you now when it actually comes to the decision making? Because we're not waiting 10 years, right, Lauren?
Yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely
all right,
not.
Lauren, let's hear it.
June 10th. That's when I want, like, for me, a goal is just the full removal of SROs. Just they're all out of the schools. And for me, that's June 10th. You know, I'm giving the Board of Education a little bit of leeway because they said May 1st is like when they're doing the little vote or whatever. That's probably not going to happen. And some stuff is going to go down with the county council where they're not going to be able to like do the vote. So I'm saying like June 10th is just like a tentative date where, you know, the bill will be signed and it will be done.
All right.
I love that.
June 10th.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much, Lauren Payne, Neha Singhal. Thank you for coming on and good luck with, you know, getting police officers out of schools. What lessons should we draw from my conversation with Lauren Payne and Neha Singhal? First, they won. Lauren Payne certainly met her June 10th deadline. Here she is after meeting with the county executive's office.
I feel super good about where the county is right now on the SRO issue after the county exec introduced his budget proposal. I'm definitely excited about, you know, how he did explicitly say that he is taking SROs out. It also came to my attention that the board superintendent plans to give recommendations, so I'm kind of nervous to see where those lie. But overall, I feel really, really good about where we're at. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen.
So yes, now that we know what will not happen, that there will be no more police officers inside school buildings, MCPS superintendent and the Board of Education have to decide what will take their place. The county executive's proposal includes police officers patrolling clusters of schools and being at schools for dismissal. According to County Council member Hans Riemer, the police remain involved in school discipline. The Board of Education and the superintendent have punted on this issue for months, and they now face the prospect of devising a new system. They'll have to do this against strong opposition. Parents and teachers in the county remain divided over the usefulness of SROs. Principals who carry the final responsibility for the security of staff and students in their buildings have generally wanted SROs. The principals' union came out in the strongest of support for keeping SROs. The Board of Education will continue to be buffeted by these groups. Of the larger lessons, perhaps the most important one is that we are seeing a renaissance of student activism not seen in the United States since the 60s and the early 70s. It is quite amazing, and Montgomery County appears to be the hotbed of student activism. And we see quite often our student leaders go on to the national stage. And oddly, while COVID has been devastating, students spending time at home seems to have contributed to this renaissance. From an inside baseball county politics perspective, County Executive Elrich seems to have preempted the SRO bill presented in the County Council by members Will Juando and Hans Riemer and stemmed the losses that he was suffering on the left with progressive groups as he enters the 2022 election season. Whether he can carry this gain effectively will depend on what security mechanisms the Board of Education works out. I will be back with Andrew Sondry and his upcoming report. Hey, Andrew, how are things going up county?
This week, I'd like to build on the conversation that we had 2 weeks ago about the budget to address another stem of the issue, state public transportation projects.
Which projects are you referring to?
There are two major public transportation projects in the Up County that have been in the planning phase for decades that would be relatively cheap to implement, but the state hasn't provided the necessary money to actually build them. Adding a third set of tracks to the Brunswick line on the MARC train is one of them, and the other is the bus rapid transit network known as the Corridor Cities Transitway.
When you say in the planning phase, what do you mean? I've heard that before.
Yeah, I mean, these ideas have been in the planning documents forever, and the county has been working around them as if they're going to be there in the near future, but the state hasn't allocated any money for them. So the county doesn't fight for them or put together equivalent projects that they can administer themselves. Instead, the county is putting together yet another report to study some of the transportation ideas that have been bouncing around, called the Corridor Forward Plan, which is in reference to the I-270 corridor. Right now, they've narrowed it down to six options, two of which are the state projects I just referred to, and another is an extension of the Purple Line that wouldn't even go into the Up County, so I'm not going to talk about it. The study is supposed to weigh different costs and benefits of these ideas, get some feedback, and then eventually make a suggestion for which one we'll pursue first.
Do you think this will work?
Not sure. My first big takeaway is that we've got a long history of studying projects to death. traffic and transportation are one of the biggest issues for the third of Montgomery County's population that lives in the Up County. But because we're so often divided over the many issues bouncing around, which is my second takeaway, that unity is more likely to get us a project. Because we're so divided, the state and the county can always say stuff like, well, we can't do all of them. And because you can't agree on what you want, let's just study to get some more information and then you'll have an idea. For the corridor city's transitway that I mentioned earlier, there is a study every couple of years to determine what the best route is, which is, you know, all well and good, except the bus route doesn't even exist. It's a revision of an idea of an idea.
Not very optimistic, are you?
You know, it's possible that consensus will emerge from the corridor forward plan. I'm not super optimistic right now. One of the things that does make this different moment from others, though, is that there's a massive infrastructure bill on the horizon that the Biden administration is pushing for. And Congress has recently brought back members' abilities to dedicate funding to specific projects in their districts, a practice known as earmarking or pork barrel spending. If we can get our federal elected officials, Congressman Trone, Sarbanes, Raskin, Senators Van Hollen and Cardin, to push for an earmark that would put money into the state towards building this bus rapid transit network, the corridor city's transitway, then we can see the influx of cash necessary to jumpstart this project.
So what is your theory of victory here? How does Up County win?
We need to bring together a coalition of local businesses from Gaithersburg all the way to Frederick, and low-income and young residents who rely on public transportation disproportionately, environmentalists, historical preservationists, and urbanists. The Corridor City's transitway could reach everybody in most key areas in the Up County and potentially into Southern Frederick. The infrastructure bill would be will be before Congress in May, and we've got a plan that's basically ready to go that our federal representatives can start pushing.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Sunil. Before I go, I want to add that I'll do follow-ups on the Corridor Forward plan and the federal infrastructure bill as more information comes out. But you can call your elected officials now. If you want more information on how to contact your federal representatives, you can go to my Twitter. That's at Andrew Sondry. Last name is spelled basically laundry, but replace the L with an S. Or the I Hate Politics Twitter, IHP Pod. You can also check out my Facebook and the show's Facebook.
I want to thank the guys at Ed's Not Dead Podcast for pointing me to this journey into podcasting, and AJ Campbell for early help, including making the logo art. Our music comes from the local band Soul Witness. I'm very much looking forward to showcasing local talent and especially local music students on the podcast. If you want to share your music on the show or know someone who might want to do it, please email us at ihppod@gmail.com or reach out on Twitter at ihppod. I hope you will subscribe and share the podcast as we bring you stories about politics close to you and your home. See you next time.